Welcome to the Better Business, Better Life podcast with me, Stuart Wilkinson, and
Shelley Dixon, business, Chief of Business Development.
Shelley, welcome. We're back. I actually looked at my recording. It's been a while since we did the podcast, and we've kind of got out the swing of it. But this is our third year of doing the budget podcast. So I was like, that's the opportunity to get back into it. So today, listeners, we're going to do kind of the normal spiel of what we do. We'll talk through sort of the headlining acts, a bit of everything that's in the budget, and then me and Shells will break down kind of, for business owners, is what's in it for them, what's the kind of key points that you might need to consider. And there's kind of two points here, really: what's in the budget itself, and also, I guess, the economic aspects, which are the commentary around it, and we'll talk a little bit about that. So if we go through to the budget at a glance, there's some of the big numbers. The big aspect was is particularly for the cost of living aspect that we're in, and the focus became very much on families, and particularly young families. So big numbers in the sense of 1.2 billion to extend the early childhood care assistance programs from what's currently 3 to 5 year olds to 2 to 5 year olds. So for a lot of our clients who have young kids, there's a bit of a perk there. Scrapping of prescription co-payments. We've got free public transport for kids under 13 and half price for under 25. There's obviously a lot of money around the cyclone, and particularly that's Hawke's Bay, but all this investment is also for Auckland, Coromandel, Bay of Plenty, areas that got hit by the cyclone. And there's obviously infrastructure to get infrastructure back into place, which obviously means roading and all that kind of stuff, homes. There's more support for community and business. And then the big numbers in reality, which I guess has got big long-term or medium to long-term effects, is 71 billion in infrastructure over the next 5 years. So continuing to obviously invest in the infrastructure we need. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Shells has got some excellent points. We'll talk about that. From a, I guess, more business point of view there, particular things that came out was a 20% rebate for video game developers. We know that's a growing space, and so a bit more support there. There is, and some of this didn't really get come through in the main budget, but continuation with the Apprenticeship Boost program, another 77 million in that, which obviously for a lot of clients that's really important. It's around an estimated 30,000 apprentices to either start and continue their support for that, which is super important for, we all know getting good people's hard, and so that keeps that going. I guess the big one, as an accounting firm, we need to talk about tax. There wasn't much changes about tax, and we'll go into that in a little bit later. But the one thing they have done, which will affect many of you who are listening to this podcast, is the change to the trust tax rate. So that's going from 33% to 39%. And there is no doubt here, the language that has been used by the government is that they see this as a tax dodge or whatever you want to do, but they see it as trust is still as a way of people minimizing their tax, especially with the introduction, what was it, a couple of years ago, of the new 39% tax rate for 180K earnings over and above. And so they're closing that kind of, they can call it a loophole, but they probably shouldn't think about it at the time. And as many sort of accounting larger firms have said, look, this was pretty obvious it was come. So people that obviously take, whether your business or rental properties and all that sort of stuff, whatever is owned in trust, there were some benefits there on the tax rate, that's potentially gone. So, that's coming pretty quick as well. That's in April next year. That kicks in for the next financial year. So, so I would really encourage anyone to speak to their accountant pretty quickly about that and just have a bit of a plan around that. So there's some headlining. There's a bunch of other stuff, but Shells, what was your takeaways from?
I kind of think, look, people can say that the budget is good, bad, or otherwise, but depending on how old you are and where you are in your married life, working career, maybe this budget is good for you, maybe it kind of isn't. So the additional time for childcare, I think, is huge for young families, not only for the cost of living aspect, but the ability for our working parents, whether they're mums or dads, to be able to go back to more part-time work sooner, I think is huge for our country. And we all know that, part-time workers can be really productive because they have to chunk a lot into their day. So I think that is overall a win for New Zealand in my mind. The prescription fee changes, well, we can all say woohoo, but unless you go to the doctor a lot, maybe your woohoo
Yeah.
is a lot lower than most, I guess. I feel that the bus thing is fantastic, but my view is they've missed the mark a little bit because for a long time we had reduced fares coming out of COVID to try and get people back on public transport and stuff. I think there are still a lot of people that would like to use the bus, but for whatever reason, if it's more than one zone, the cost can be quite exorbitant as well. I would have liked to have seen that extended a bit past
Yep.
25, would have been my view. And I think it's important for everyone listening to the cyclone relief and the Auckland relief is huge. And I just want to take you guys back to when we had earthquakes and things like that. It was a similar sort of budget
Yeah.
in that area. We can't not have our country recover in the biggest areas for us. So I think that's quite cool. The tax rate change on the trusts, well, everyone listening now is going to question why they have a trust. I can hear some of the
Yeah.
lawyers saying to me it's getting harder and harder, and we had the trust disclosure come out last year, so they're definitely knuckling down on those sorts of things. And I kind of feel if you are genuinely using the trust for a genuine reason, then that's cool, but unfortunately now you're going to be taxed a little bit higher
Yeah.
than previously, so you've got to really assess whether that's the right structure for you. So yeah, those things are fantastic. But let's talk about the things that our listeners really want to hear. So the apprenticeship boost. I think there are still lots of trades out there that need to jump on this boost
Yep.
scheme. Like it's cool, but it's not one of those things that I feel New Zealand publicises very well that it's out there. So actively encourage everyone to jump on if you've got apprentices and get that boost scheme, because it does definitely make a difference for a small business. So it's nice to see that they've extended that, and getting more people that are leaving school into trades, I think, is awesome. So yeah, they're my high level things. What should we hit next, Joe?
I think I you know we obviously did a bit of planning for this podcast, and I think that the one that I guess in some ways was encouraging is continued investment in our infrastructure, because better infrastructure promotes more economic activity, whether it's the building of the infrastructure, but then obviously long term return. But Shells, you kind of heard some interesting commentary today or yesterday around the infrastructure spend, and I thought linking it to migration and what we're seeing there, that I thought was really interesting and kind of to bear in mind about that spend.
Yeah, I feel like the 71 billion infrastructure over the next 5 years is just maintaining New Zealand to New Zealand standards, right? It's not, there's no allowance there to match the rate of people coming into the country. We're seeing lots of people coming in to help out with cyclone relief, like we did earthquake times. And I feel like that the government really needs to focus on how they spend that to enhance the infrastructure that we have. If those people get the visas to come and then they decide that they want to become New Zealanders, we need more schools, we need more hospital care, we need more housing, all of those things to sustain. The flip side of that is it's good for business, right? The longer these people stay, the greater the long-term impact on us and spending and stuff. So I feel that the 71 billion is just so. That's just keeping us where we need to be. It's probably not focused on what I heard this morning in one of the podcasts that I listened to about the budget, that actually we are getting closer and closer to John Key's height of 66,000 people coming into New Zealand. We're heading there. They think that we're going to surpass that. If that's the case, and the 71 billion is for the New Zealanders that are here now, we're not really prepared for that to hit year on year, are we really? So that's interesting. It's a big number, right? It's a huge number. I get it. But that's a bit of a concern for me.
And I think it's interesting, where the private sector around infrastructure and the government public sector meet, and a good example of that is our Auckland office is up in Hobsonville Point. So for people who don't know Auckland, Hobsonville Point 10 years ago was another Air Force base, and now is a huge housing area, really well done. But beyond that, into Riverhead and just north, I guess what's in the northern fringe of Auckland, but lots of housing build. And I overheard a conversation between they had like the local schools all came together, and there was a school there that mentioned 3 or 4 years ago their roll was around 200 to 250, and that's now gone to 550. And so, there's the building of the infrastructure in the sense of private developers, taking opportunity to build new houses and all that sort of stuff, which is great because we need new houses. But infrastructure has to keep up to that, whether it's stormwater. I guess we're all in Auckland in particular, are all mindful of the stormwater infrastructure around that, and schools and roading and all that sort of stuff. And I think, that's what hamstrings us a little bit. I think particularly, as you said, there, Shells, where we see more, potentially more migration, which is very important because we all know getting good people at the moment has been impossible. So we need, there's plenty of jobs out there that we need to fill, which again, economic development. But are we just keeping level with the growth that we need anyway? I think it's really because we do. We're always just we build something and then it's just, oh, that's good for the next year, and then it needs to be a bit bigger. The Auckland Bridge is the classic one of, oh, we better put some arms in the blooming thing. And it still seems we haven't learned that lesson sometimes. So, it is interesting where they're going. But I also think, while I think you're right, Shells, on stuff they've done for families, the ability that might be for some of your team within your business to work 4 days rather than three, or actually come back to work with confidence that they can actually afford it, because childcare is a little bit expensive. There's no two ways about it. I think it's good for the workforce, and I think it's really good to balance that out for career progression, equal pays, all that kind of stuff. So I think it's a really good thing that for long term, if they keep it going. I guess one of the things that many people are, I guess, have been kind of thinking about here is, okay, the government has signaled that a lot of our deficits and that sort of stuff will be pushed out, and so at some point we've got to pay the piper and the bills have got to be paid. And so we are obviously going into an election year. I was speaking with a client yesterday and I was asking how business is going. They're like, it's just a bit slow, and as he said, it's election year, Stu, so people always are just a bit more thoughtful. And so I do think I would not be surprised if we see some tax stuff coming, whenever that might be. We've obviously had the whole rigmarole of capital gains 3 or 4 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when it was. But yet, Shell's your views on that. But I think something's coming.
I think the tax changes are probably the ace up the sleeve for the election campaign later on this year, because each government coming in needs to rein back some of this debt, right? We can't continue as a country. We're still quite small, even though our debt is not as large as some other countries. We largely in the world, we're quite a small nation, really. So I think there has to be some tax changes to try and gain some of that back. We have to be able to give the cyclone relief funds that it's needed for restoration, right? But it does mean that somebody has to pay that because they can't pay it all themselves. So I don't know that any of the taxes are easy to bring in unless there's a wealth tax of some sort. I don't think capital gains will be easy for them to bring in. So I'm sure that there are plenty of people in government scratching their heads about what they could do that would be an easy, quick win right now. And it'll be a campaign launch, right? Because if someone brings out capital gains and then someone brings out something else, well, no one want capital gains, will they? So
No.
I think we are heading into a very interesting election year. This budget honestly is not what I expected, to be
No.
fair. I think it's good that it's focused on families, but like we've already said, there's very little for middle New Zealand or businesses in this budget. So whether they can make some of that up too in the election, who knows?
I think you can see, I guess, from the narrative of the Labour when they released the amount of the average tax rate of the top 300 New Zealanders and stuff, like some seeds have been sown. So we know probably something's coming, and it'll be part of the election campaign. The one thing I would say, and I think it challenges New Zealand a little bit here, but coming from the UK, we have a much higher tax thresholds in the sense of the levels we have in percentage of tax we pay on income tax, but we have more tax. There is stamp things like stamp duty on when you sell your property as an individual, and but also we have capital gains tax, and that's pretty ingrained into the culture. And capital gains is pretty common around most of the Western world, that but obviously who's going to want it? You don't want it. Like, it's not, you know, no one wants tax. But
No.
it's an interesting thing. I think, you know, coming from the UK, where we have services like the National Health Service, you go, okay, we're paying tax, but we get free healthcare and guaranteed. You know, there's institutions which I guess I think that kind of back that up, and it's been part of the culture, I guess you could call it. But I do think Labour are priming something here, and I think that the what I would say to clients where they go, oh well, you know what, there's, I guess. Last time, at least, we had some pretty good information. I remember we spent hours internally trying to get how webinars and Teams stuff so we could answer all the questions, and it
Yes.
was all like, well, that was a waste of time. So they'll be pretty, there should be some pretty well thought out information. I guess the key aspects there that if it does come in is obviously, you know, okay, if I sell my business and what my business exit would mean, how's that going to affect my business exit in particular? And for a lot of our clients, obviously, any investment properties. That's obviously the reality is we do have a capital gains. It's called a bright line. So that's been extended to, you know, 10 years now as a sort of maximum stuff. So I think it's coming. So I think it's, but I think it's one of those things we don't know what it looks like yet. There's plenty of models around what a capital gains tax could look like. So until we do, let's see. But we've got to balance the, and Labour obviously are not going to reduce spending. It's quite clear on things. That's not the way.
And look, perhaps they don't have to,
Correct.
right? Because, you know, there's only a few months to the election, right? So actually, maybe they'll feel a little bit different if they are re-elected. Who knows? I think the other things now coming out of the budget is there's no re recession predicted
Yes.
for New Zealand now. I think that's massive for every New Zealander, right? That's huge. So let's hope that that prediction is actually the realization for us. And obviously, the official cash rate, they are predicting there'll be a further increase on that. So there is concern out there about this budget creating more inflation, I guess, in the market. I heard on the news this morning that Westpac's economist has come out today and said that he thinks it will go to 5.75 or maybe 6 in the next announcement post this budget, which will obviously mean an impact on interest rates across the board. So if you've got investments, you know, you can do the big whoop whoop because your interest rates will go up. But if you're on the other end of the spectrum and you have lending, whether it be personal or business, that will obviously have an almost instantaneous effect. Seems the other mainstream banks are still digesting the budget before
Yes.
they make any commentary around their expectations and predictions there. So I guess something just to be mindful of. We're not necessarily heading into a recession, but that doesn't mean that the interest rates are going to come back because we're not going there. So,
I think
yeah.
that's probably what's caught people out, Shells. I think people was quite surprised they've pushed the deficit out and are going to borrow more. I think that was probably a
Yes.
little bit. And as you said, like a couple of, yeah, there is, I guess there is some really good news around that. As you said, Treasury are no longer a forecasting a recession. That is a lot from the cycle of recovery. You know, we do see that obviously that creates economic activity. They're saying unemployment will peak next year, late next year at 5.3. The key part though is inflation is forecast to drop to 3% at the by next September. So we've still got a year and a half of what they're saying, pretty high inflationary environments. And then the GDP is
Yes.
forecast at 3.2% this year, dropping to 1% next year. So they are saying that we're not going to be in a recession, but we're saying in some ways this potential downturn is more another 12 months down the track. So I guess that's going to be the concern for business owners who are already trying to just navigate what they thought was a little bit of softening in the market. And I'll quote, many people see Brad Olson from Infometrics. He's kind of on the radio as a leading economist. I guess the quote that I guess will really, I guess, worry people here is, certainly having read the budget, my thought would be there is more risk for that the Reserve Bank has to do more work with the official cash rate to balance out inflation. And I guess that for business owners who are looking to, who have currently got obviously lending and what that will do to their current lending, but also any future investments they're looking at buying of purchasing new plant and equipment, whatever it might be, that risk of it potentially getting even more expensive and that official cash rate being higher for longer, that I think is the interesting part of this whole thing.
Yeah, I think you'll also see the banks retreat a little bit from lending. Like you might see the tightening up of criteria. We've already seen that across the market currently with some of the clients that we work with to help get better lending or restructure, refinance. The market there is definitely tightening. So I think if the official cash rate goes up, there will be a further retrenchment because you know all of the banks will be a little bit scared and a little bit nervous about prediction of no recession, but is this affordable at these interest rates? You know, and yeah, once again, I think it's hard. We're all in a hard position because businesses need working capital to grow, but they've got to be able to repay that working capital, and it's got to be at a rate that they can afford. So it's a kind of a chicken and egg scenario a little bit there, isn't it?
And I think, look, we're not unlike a lot of countries around the world that have seen obviously hikes in the interest rate. And you know, you speak to anyone of my dad's generation, the 7 year old, well, when we had a house, it was 20%. So, you know, you get all that. And I think that we've had the luxury of a lot of cheap money for a long time in a low inflationary. It's kind of, you know, bucks any economic kind of modeling, not in all parameters. So we knew it was going to come, but I guess it's, are we making it worse than it needs to be? That's my question a little bit. I don't
Well,
know. Yeah.
potentially for those of you guys that are coming off fixed rates, it might be a good time to think about spreading the risk if you want to go back onto a fixed rate and do some varying terms so that if the interest rates do fall within the next 6 to 12 months, you get to capitalize on
Yeah.
some of that, I think is probably a wise decision. And maybe just think about what Stu said before, that they are predicting we're pushing the can down the hill a little bit further now. So, you know, that inflation's not going to come back for another 12 to 18 months yet. So when you're choosing interest rates, you've got to take all of that into
Yeah.
account, not just take necessarily the cheapest that's sitting there.
So shells, I think, you know, for most people, there's different things that interest them, the budget. You know, we've kind of gone through the high level stuff that we know is kind of important. You know, for any listeners, as we start to understand a little bit more around like the trust tax rates, we might do specific aspects on that as it starts to flow through, because that actually is coming pretty quickly. I guess shells, you know, conversations with, because I'm always intrigued at the moment when you hear what's in the media and they actually ask clients what's going on. But what is it that you're hearing on the ground from clients at the moment, shells? And then what is it sort of that they're focusing on? You know, because at the end of the day, we can't control any of this stuff. So there's a little bit of that. So what is it, you know, when you talk to clients to go, okay, let's actually get back to basics. What are we focused on our business, and what do we do to control our own destiny in some ways?
I think that's a good question. Everyone's views are a little bit different. Like there'll be people that are completely anti-Labour and pro-National and vice versa, or Greens or whatever, right? But I think there are always winners and losers. You're never going to get 100% of our population satisfied in anything that you do. So they're kind of up against that, really. They've got to pick and choose. But I had a couple of clients in yesterday, and one of my clients said, whatever's happening out there with the government, whatever happens in the budget, I have to do my job and I have to do it really well. I have to look after my people and my staff and make sure that my margins are right, and that's why I'm sitting here with you. So that in a nutshell is a very positive conversation, whereas other clients are very, very worried about the what was previously predicted a recession that they were heading into, and what should they downsize. So I think we've seen a lot of people reassess their workforce, and if some of the things can be outsourced, I think there's more of a movement to outsourcing, which is not necessarily a bad thing if you've got some roles that are not necessarily full-time or not vital to be inside the business, and you can outsource them contractors, then you can spread and mitigate your risk a little bit. There's been a little bit of that happening, but certainly for my customers, I'm not seeing them curb back on replacement of assets, for argument's sake. So if an asset needs to be replaced, they're replacing it. They're not spending more on R&M. They're actually having a crack at moving forward. So I think the assessment's there for the business owner in general, which is good, but I haven't seen a total pullback of I'm panicked, I'm stressed, I'm really concerned overall. And look, I've been quite surprised, to be honest, because I thought there would be more of that in the market right now, but there just doesn't seem to be. And maybe the cyclone and you know, we can say that natural disasters, absolutely terrible, absolute tragedies, but that has led to some of this momentum that we're currently gaining
Oh, I
right now,
completely agree.
which is positive for our country. So, Like certainly down in the south, I think we're tracking down.
Yeah. And we've, there's a couple of clients that in particular I'm working with at the moment who's very similar shells, that they're just really making sure that, one, they understand all the levers in their business, what, really understanding, okay, what is the things I need to be really mindful to control my margins? And that's, okay, can I be more efficient with the work we're producing? How are we structuring our jobs or whatever it might be, but really getting clear on, okay, let's just focus on this and get that a little bit better to maintain margin. There's no doubt we've got clients who are really assessing every expense and going, okay, is it got a return? Could I do that a bit better? Outsourcing is a big question. I think that's really good. But also, I think, there are clients who are also going, just kind of talking through. There's one client at the moment we're walking through, and we're going, okay, if things do drop for that business by 5-10%, let's actually think about it now. What would that mean? What does that mean for profit? What would the levers would we do if we got situations? Just being really informed. But the other thing is we've also seen a lot of clients who are not, they're not pulling back on marketing. They're not, they're really focusing on, hey, how do I deliver a great service, a great product? How do I make sure I keep winning good business? How do I have good sales process? So, it's just, I think, just really, making sure where they can is get some efficiency, but also, okay, that efficiency has got to still lead to great service and great product so that I get repeat business, got happy customers, they'll refer. That's what you can control, isn't it, in your business? And still making investments which are smart and will further. It's just making sure you've kind of weighing up, aren't you, really?
Yeah, and I think for people listening that don't have people that they can talk to, like I actually think that is part of the solution, right? Being able to go and sit down. If we think about the minimum wage has just gone up, so that's impacted every business owner that employs anybody in that aspect. But did you get some help? Did you get some support? Have you rechecked your margins based on that? Because actually, it costs you more to have that staff member now. Fantastic that it costs, that they get better cost of living and things like that. But you've really got to look at everything within your business and make that adjustment, because if you don't, it just erodes your margin a little bit more. And look, people are accepting of that. I think I actually, to be honest, I don't know about you, Stu, but there's plenty of cafes that I go into that have got little signs up saying that they've had to increase their price of coffee post the minimum wage going up, and I think as New Zealanders we just have to accept that, right? So I think kudos to all those cafes that have made that decision, or hospitality places. But if you're struggling with making that decision, we're definitely here to help. You just need to reach
Yeah,
out.
and I think, look, what I've seen with the clients, we're starting to be doing a bunch of work on this, is, it's not. Yeah, there's an output and there's an up and a down or a minus or a plus or whatever. But the conversations we have with those clients on, okay, well, what, why is that number there? What do we need to do to get the margin there? What's going on in the business? And how many teams have you got? And all that's the valuable part of this. And then you go, okay, that's what I need to do to hopefully get those results. So completely agree, Shells. If I think being proactive, I think, for clients at the moment, just thinking, okay, if things go up 10%, if things go down 10%, what does that mean? And all that sort of just talking through different scenarios with your accountant advisor just means you're prepared. I think we're super prepared. And
Yes.
it also might just help you spot any leakage and going, oh, actually, oh, I thought I was getting 20% markup on that, but I'm not. Okay, what do we need to do? Just get that tidy. That might be just the one thing you focus on for 3 months or whatever it might be. So, well, thanks, that shows. As always, we are looking at trying to get the podcast back up to a semi-regular point. There's a few things in the budget that, as I said, that particularly for things like the trust rate increase, that we'll get more information hopefully as that rolls out over the next few weeks. That's the thing with governments, they make this announcement, then it takes a little while for the IRD to kind of come up with the actual what's happening, or post the actual things, post go live. We've had that before. So we'll keep people up, because I know that'll beg lots of questions on what people might have to do around their structure and what they might want to do this financial year, all that sort of stuff. So please reach out if you've got any questions around that. But also make sure you just check out all our social medias. We're on all the usual channels. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. We will do some more stuff. And we'll speak to everyone soon.
Thanks, Joe. See yous.